Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
And he cloaked it, and this is all for the glory of God. No, it was all, if God wanted it, God would have asked for it. God didn't want it and told him not to do it. God wanted his obedience. In fact, he said, your obedience is better than sacrifice. And you listening to me and hearkening is better to me than the fat of rams. In other words, there's nothing you can put on my altar that takes the place of your heart of obedience. Nothing. Amen. That's the real sacrifice unto me. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and haughtiness is just like idolatry. In fact, in Saul's case, it's the ultimate idolatry. It's bowing to the God of self. It's lifting oneself above the place of God, to where we make the decisions and then we ask God to bless whatever we decide. And there's a faith message out there today, you'll hear it, that tells you how to do that. How to just do what your heart desires and believe God to take care of that. And that's why so many scriptures on refrigerators confessed every day is not bringing fruitful lives. Can you say amen? Because the will is not yet surrendered to God. But when the will is surrendered, it's different. Because we don't try to get God to bless this mess. Can you say amen? We yield to him. By the way, your life changes when your will is surrendered. I see people with tension in their life that can't find peace. They'll have it for a moment, and it somehow wiggles out of their hands and hearts, and it gets away again. It flutters away over and over and over and over again. I know people that cannot retain a consistent peace in their heart and life. They're always troubled. You know why? The will is not surrendered. Amen? When the will is surrendered, Jesus said, my peace I give you. What was his peace? He had the peace of a surrendered will. In the volume of the book it is written, listen to this. It says the basis for all peace. In the volume of the book it is written, I came to do my thing, O God. No, I came to do your will, O God. Hallelujah. Don't you know there's peace in knowing that you're in the perfect will of God? Even if you're standing before Pilate and it looks like everybody's forsaking you and the devil's closing in on you and the cross is waiting before you, but you know in your heart of hearts, I'm in the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. The Bible said he set his face like a flint. Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? Peace doesn't come by God zapping you with something. That's not, you're waiting for something to come out of heaven and just take hold of a heart that is not surrendered. It can't take hold of a heart that's not surrendered. So Jesus said, my peace give I you. Not like the world gives, give I you. Hallelujah. Amen. And where did his peace originate? It originated in his full surrender to be obedient to the will of his Father. My words are not mine. My works are not mine, but what I hear my Father say and what I see my Father do. You see the surrender? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you'll find rest for your soul. You want my peace? Take my yoke. What was his yoke? I came to do the will of my Father. And when there was a conflict, he deferred. Not my will. Thy will be done. And immediately, what happened when surrender came? Angels came. That means all of heaven's supernatural resources become available to you that you might obey God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's peace in knowing that all of heaven is behind you when you surrender to the will of God. Amen. It's warrior peace. Hallelujah. The battle is still on, but you know that you know that you know that God is with you and God is within you and God has went out before you. Hallelujah. Amen. And victory is assured no matter what it seems like. It doesn't matter what it seems like. God said everything will work together for good if you love me enough to surrender your will. Hallelujah. And you're the called according to his purpose. And the next verse reveals the purpose. Verse 29 of Romans 8, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son. Hallelujah. Amen. Who was obedient, the scripture said. Let that mind just get inside of you who was obedient even unto the death of the cross. A surrendered will. Everybody said this surrender brings serenity. Wow. I've preached for 30 years and I've watched people struggle with struggles that the root cause is an unsurrendered will. Unsurrendered will. And the day that the will is fully surrendered, the peace will flood your soul. But there's no substitute for a surrendered will. Everybody say, no substitute for a surrendered will. Let's get ready as we receive this offering. Our agenda is to build a building. That's what we want to do. We're moving toward that naturally because people are faithful here. We're into paying off a mortgage. We owe less on this whole thing than some people do on their automobile in terms of time. And money in that case, but in terms of the sheer time involved, if you bought a new car tomorrow, we'll pay this off long before you get that car paid for. So we can see the light at the end of the tunnel because the tunnel isn't very long. Amen. That's what's great about short-term financing. Amen. It's not a long tunnel. Anybody that's got a 30-year mortgage, if you see light, it's a long way off. It's at the end of the tunnel. Can you say amen? Well, our light's getting brighter here because the end of the tunnel is not too far. Praise God. Time is flying. Praise God. When I was young, time crept, and when I got a little older, you know, time moved a little. Anyway, it gets to where I am now when it says, and when I was old, time flew. Well, I'm getting to where time is flying. That tells you something about my age. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is gracious and good. He set us here. You've come here. You've been faithful. You've been generous. As a result of it, we're paying down a mortgage. Praise God. And it won't be long until it's a done deal. Now, that's the natural. In the natural, we can continue to do that. Amen. But in the supernatural, God can change all that immediately if He so chooses to. He can give us the money to pay this off in cash. They can write it off as done. I mean, you know, there's 10 million ways that God can do that if He so chooses. Or He can let us enjoy what we have, pay it off naturally, or He can move supernaturally. It's up to God how He does that. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, my expectation is that we won't naturally pay it out. I could be wrong. Thy will be done. But I'm looking for supernatural things in my life and supernatural events. Hallelujah. And so God could supernaturally move. He could supernaturally move, not just providing money, but He could send people in here until the place couldn't hold them. And just by virtue of faithfulness of those people with us, we could hurry up and pay that mortgage off. Amen. Personally, I'd like to see it come through people that come to know Christ as their Savior. That'd be my choice way of seeing this done quickly, is to see a great influx of people coming to know Jesus as their Savior, and a great influx of people who want genuine revival, who are sick and tired of phony baloney Christianity. Can you say amen? And want truth to set them free. And we're looking, our target audience is people that want to know Christ as Savior, that the Holy Spirit is preparing for the message. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And people that have a heart for God. Therefore, we're not trying to preach to everybody, and we're trying to preach to those people that will respond to this present day call of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you're giving to a church that has an agenda in our vision for what we want to accomplish ministerially and what we want to accomplish on this piece of property with this people. Hallelujah. And I have blessed and I will continue to bless, saith the Lord. Because my blessing will rest upon all that I have ordained and all that I have sanctioned and all that I have sanctified by my word and set apart. I have set you apart for a holy purpose. Rejoice in the difference. Rejoice in the separation. Rejoice in the place wherein I have placed you, saith the Lord. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's don't try to be accommodating, be like anyone else. Let's be what Christ wants us to be and see what He does with that. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads as we ask God's blessing? Father, just bless this offering today. Lord, You've opened this service with revealing unto us the need for a surrendered will and all that begins to come into our life, all the blessings, the rich spiritual blessings that come into our life and flow through our life. And Father, we surrender our will, even in our giving today. Lord, we want your will to be done. I pray for those in this room who have not yet surrendered to your word. In other areas they may have, but in this area they have not yet surrendered. Father, this is land that Satan can still claim because it's unsurrendered to you. And I pray that there will be a full surrender that involves all of our heart and all of our ways to the obedience to your word. And Father, in this area of giving, Lord, this requires more than just saying, Lord, I believe you, I trust you, I'm faithful to you, I'll stand for you. This involves an activity, Lord, where we make commitments and we carry them out. It's practical and it's personal, and it's going to be done or left undone in each one of our individual lives. And I pray that in this area there might be surrendered wills and obedient hearts so that your rich blessings will be abundant in every life. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Is it all right to say this is part of surrender? Hallelujah. Praise God. Surrender your heart, and I believe your wallet will be right where it needs to be in God's presence. Hallelujah. How many know if you get your heart, he gets the whole of you? Everything you are and everything you have. I want to talk to you briefly this morning, which in our services means, about 30 minutes longer than the average service, which is shorter than our average service. So we fall somewhere, amen, in the in-between. But I want to move very quickly into the Word of God. Just as we go into this, I'm trying to get away from something. I don't know if God wants me to get away from or not, and that's the surrendered will. But we got to come back to that subject. I believe he's going to let me go somewhere else. He may change that. I'm really not. My will is surrendered too. But I want to tell you something. The day you do it, that's the day the greatest changes are going to come in your life. Until you do, there's going to be tension between you and God. And there's going to be questions, all the time questions, and there's going to be confusion. Amen? Because things are going to touch your life that you don't understand as God carries his will out. Because you're going to be, you'll have need for humility when what you think you need is that job promotion or that whatever that you think would be such a blessing. So I better move into my message. I see that it's going to take some softening to get into this message. You get a surrendered will, you get rid of your pride. You get a surrendered will, you get rid of your worry. You get a surrendered will, you get rid of your agitation. You get a surrendered will, you quit being angry at God. Get a surrendered will, you get rid of confusion because you know something. You know that everything is working together for good because you love the Lord. And trying to say that you love the Lord without a surrendered will is not love at all. If you don't surrender your will, you don't love God. If a man love me, he'll keep my commandments. Why does he do that? Because his will is surrender. I can't go nowhere else, can I? Can you say amen? You want to be free? You want to listen to messages about freedom and get a few biblical concepts in your life and still live in agitation, aggravation, and confusion, and fear, and uncertainty? You want to be stymied in your spiritual growth where all of this food, spiritual food is coming into your life, but you're not prospering, you're not going anywhere? Can you say, man? You want to get off this trampoline with God, this up and down, this roller coaster experience with God? You want to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ? It starts with a surrendered will. Deny yourself. Can you say, man? If you want it. If you want it. Because we get all of these biblical principles in our life, but with an unsurrendered will, it'll do us no good. Because we're really not going to take it to heart. Did you know something? You can will to obey God or you can will to disobey God. And the will is the pivotal part of you. It all hinges on what you will. Can you say, Matt? Oh, God has a message for us this morning. Praise the Lord. God has a work that he wants to do in our life today. Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't start with just getting joy. It doesn't start with just getting peace. It starts with a surrendered will. Repentance involves a surrendered will. It's when you say, listen, I have will in my life, a strong will that is contrary to your will. But Lord, I'm coming today to surrender my will and to repent of my sin. Amen. Repentance doesn't mean crying over your sin or even saying, I'm sorry for my sin. Repentance means a 180-degree turnaround. It means a change of the will, amen, from going in one direction to going another direction. It's the will that is running in rebellion from God, turning into obedience to God. Hallelujah. Someone said one time, and accurately, biblically, that revival is nothing more. Revival in the Church of Jesus Christ is nothing more or less than a renewed commitment to do the will of God from the heart. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You want revival? You're not going to get it by just getting God to send His glory or give you an experience. Revival will come in your life when you make a new commitment to surrender your all to the will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He will revive your stymied soul and He will restore your troubled soul. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody say a surrendered will. Without it, what possible work can God do to achieve His agenda in our life? You know, we pull scriptures out. We don't really go into them. Let me give you a text scripture, proof text. Romans 8, 28 and 29. If you leave 29 from 28, you're not going to get 28 right. You're going to get it wrong. Here, have you ever heard this? Here's what we hear. Here's what we hear commonly. Everybody says surrendered will. I guess you know the sermon title is Surrendered Will. Praise God. And that CD will be for tonight. You can mark it for tonight. We'll go into that. How many will come back tonight to hear a message on Maranatha? Amen. If you get through this one, you'll enjoy that one. Amen. This is the cake. That's the icing. Hallelujah. But you gotta have some cake. You can't just take your finger and lick off the icing. Can you say amen? This is the meat. Amen. There are people here that want peace. You're desperately seeking God for His peace. His peace begins and only comes when the will is surrendered to Him. Because this peace can come in the midst of all kinds of circumstances that would normally take away peace. Amen. It's not as the world gives. Amen. But it's Christ's peace. Now, that doesn't mean it's some supernatural Novocaine that He injects into you to where you don't feel the pressure anymore. It means that He had a peace achieved by a full surrender to the will of God that couldn't be shaken, even when everybody forsook Him, even when it felt like God had forsaken Him, even when He stood in Pilate's hall all alone. Can you say, man, He stood there in perfect peace. Can you say, man, the only time He didn't have perfect peace in His life is when He took your sin in mind and God had to pull back from Him. But He had the peace of knowing that no matter what situation He was in, the Father was in that situation with Him. Amen. It was in the will of His Father. He knew the sovereignty of God was so mighty that mighty Rome and mighty Caesar had absolutely no control over Him. And He looked at Pilate who said, and He was fulfilling prophecy. He was so committed to the will of God, He didn't defend Himself. He didn't try to get out of what was before Him. Amen. The great prayer of surrender was in the garden where He sweated out. Listen, coming to this place is not easy. The flesh will always fight you on this issue. But when you come to this place, the rewards are absolutely enormous. Can you say amen? And one of the first signs that you've arrived at this place is a deep, settled, unmovable peace that permeates your heart and your mind. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. But there's too many people in church with unsurrendered wills. There's people that want to be a preacher that God hadn't called. Their will's not surrendered. They can't stand to not be in the limelight. They can't stand to be one of the people. I look in churches, you name it, on television, I see Gerard Parsley's church. Amen. There would be no congregation if everybody was called to preach. Thank God for a congregation that go out and preach to the world in the way they live every day of their life. That man is limited to that pulpit, that church, and that television audience. They go out there where they don't come to that church, listen to the words from that pulpit, amen, or watch it on television. But there they go after they leave the building. But we just don't want to win souls, do we? We want to be seen. We want to be heard. Believe me, I don't need to be here. I just want to be obedient to God. I don't have preacher's itch. I'm called to preach. That's why I preach like I do. But I don't have an ego that needs stroking. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You compare the glory of preaching, not in the world to come. There's no comparison to the crown of glory for preaching the gospel in the world to come. But in this world, you ask any true preacher of the gospel that has a heart for souls and hearts broken over sin, amen, is under the pressure of leadership. And he's going to tell you something. Amen. If you want this spot and God called you to it and released me from it, have at it. Can you say amen? If you want it, come and get some. If you think it's all glory, you've never been a full-time, fully accountable pastor to God for people. Can you say, man? There's a pressure that comes that only full surrender can relieve. If I'm not hearing the will of God, let me tell you, if I'm not here to obey God, as much as I love you, I wouldn't be here just to serve you guys. I love you. I want to serve you. But I'm here because God called me and God sent me. Because, honey, down through the years, there's been a lot of hurt. And there's been a lot of setbacks. And there's been a lot of pressures. Not only do people come down on you, but God comes down on you. I have the responsibility for your soul, even if you're irresponsible with your soul. I have a responsibility to tell you the truth, even if you don't love me for it or like me for it. I have an accountability to God for everything that's preached from this pulpit. And God will call me to account in the final day of judgment for everything that I've said and everything that I've done. Amen. I have to know what the will of God is. I have to leave my outlines. I have to look people in the eye on Sunday morning. I have to challenge you. I have to confront you as I challenge. I'm challenged and confronted by the same truth and the same word. I want you to know I'm not preaching in a condescending way because I'm up here and you're out there. This stuff challenges me just as well as it challenges you. Well, Brother Benwell, why don't you wait until you are perfected before you preach anything like that? Amen, because that's not how it works. Can you say amen? Because you'll never hear the message. This message is not my message. Amen, because I'm perfected. Paul said, you're not hearing from a perfect man. He said, you're hearing from a man that is pressing for the mark. God is not asking for perfection from those who preach His gospel. He's asking for them to be walking this out and pressing for it in their own life. That's why the preachers that want people in their altars need to start getting in altars themselves and setting the proper example for their people. I don't believe in preachers and teachers that don't seek God like the rest of us. Because they have not arrived. Paul hadn't arrived. No man has arrived. But we're all on a journey. Hallelujah. And there's joy for the journey. There's not only is there peace in full surrender, there's joy in full surrender. I was called to preach to university students, evangelizing the University of South Florida. People in their 20s, early 20s, and mid 20s and 30s that are actually had a powerful evangelistic effort. And I got to go minister for 100 of them. And man, I'm telling you, and you know what? I was asked to preach on because they, corporately, had heard tapes of this ministry. And they believe that we've preached a full-blown commitment to Jesus Christ. You realize there's people that told me at one of our gatherings where we were celebrating, I think, our year anniversary or our opening service here, there are people that used to come to our church that came for that and said the reason that I don't come is because I know if I come to Brother Venables, I'm going to be convicted. And I thought that is a wonderful reputation. It's not because I preach hard. It's because I preach the truth. And I don't want anybody lost or in a backslidden condition comfortable where I preach or where we worship. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with getting right with God. Believe me, that person making that little trite statement doesn't understand the ramifications of a rebel heart. That sin in the eyes of God is the same as the sin of witchcraft. We differentiate. God does not. He said evil is evil. If it comes in the terrible diabolical darkness that it is, or if it charades as an angel of light, it's the same ancient evil coming from the same old source. And God wants to cleanse His people from evil. Can you say amen? And set us apart for blessing. I want you to look at holiness differently. Holiness is not to put you in a religious box where you have no fun. Hallelujah. Holiness is to set you apart unto God for blessing. Amen. That goes beyond all the fun that sin could offer your flesh. Well, fun without peace isn't really fun. And that's why the world keeps seeking and never finding. But God wants you to find. God wants you to achieve this in your life. Everybody say it all begins with a surrendered will. Everything I need from God begins, say it with me, with a surrendered will. All these frustrating things, all these agitating things, all these aggravating things, they're all resolved when I surrender my will. Isn't that incredible? My peace give I you. In the world, you'll have tribulation. All the ingredients for being upset and agitated and tore up all the time. The word is thelpsis. Everybody say thelpsis. It's a Greek word. It means anguish and pressure. You know why the word isn't working in many people? It's because the peace of God is not prevalent in the life. The Bible said that other things entering in, the cares of this life, would do what? Choke the word. That's why we get a hold on it, but it doesn't get a hold in us. Amen? Chokes the word. So it doesn't matter how rich and real the word of God becomes. In the reality of your personal life, it doesn't work out into that life unless there's a surrendered will. A totally surrendered will. How do you know if it's totally surrendered? Do you have the peace? Do you have the peace? Because peace comes when the will is surrendered. That's why Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation. I want you to be of good cheer because I've overcome it. Amen? I've overcome the pressure that it brings. I live victorious while sensing and experiencing all the pressure of this fallen world, the pressure of temptation, the pressure of persecution, the pressure of brokenheartedness. Can you say amen? He was tempted in all points as we are, but he didn't sin. He overcame the world. He said, I want you to be of good cheer. I've led the way. I've set the example. But for you to have victory, you've got to follow my example. You that labor and are heavy laden, what are we to do? Everybody say a surrendered will. And it's not surrendered if we still entertain things that we know is against the will of God. If you're agitated today, you haven't surrendered your will yet. You surrender it, and whatever's bugging you will not bug you tomorrow. Why? Because God will cause you to set your mind on other things. Finally, my brethren, whatever's true, a surrendered will means a disciplined mind as well, because your will is allowing the mind to go places, amen, that God says it ought not go. But when that will is surrendered to God, every thought is brought in to captivity, to the obedience of Jesus. He's not going to make you think right, but when you surrender your will, He's going to capture your thoughts for Himself. Hallelujah. And that ends the confusion. I said that ends the confusion. There's no confusion. There may be questions unanswered, but I am not confused about my life, because I know God's agenda and my will is surrendered to it. Amen. If you lose your job and it's part of God's agenda, it's okay. If you lose your job and you don't understand God's agenda and you're not surrendered to it, it's not okay. It's a big blow and you wonder what in the world is going on. Can you say amen? If you prayed for a loved one and God overrode your prayers and took them to heaven, you interpreted it as Satan winning, then Satan can conquer God and you. And he can't. But if you say it was time, somewhere in God's eternal purpose, he overrode my temporal understanding and my convenience, and the circle isn't broken, that person knows Christ, I'm going to live with that person forever and ever and ever. Listen, if God calls me home today, it'll be time for me to go home. If it's time for me to go home, Satan has no victory when I leave here. Amen. Can you say amen? Oh, don't patty cake. Give him a hand clap. Hallelujah. Here's the way we misinterpret Scripture with unsurrendered wills, without a real devoted love. Romans 8:28 says, here's the way most people quote it. All things work together for good. They just stop right there. All things work. We know all work together for good. We know that. All things. In fact, we don't even put the we know. We just put, see, the source of peace is that you know. You know. You know. You know God's agenda. You know His sovereignty. You know that He's able to take everything and subdue it to Himself. You know that what's happening is not without, beyond the realm of His control and His supervision. Amen? You've got to know that. That's got to get settled down on the inside of you. So it doesn't say all things work together for good. It says, for we know. Romans 8:28. Everybody say we know. We know. What did James say? He said, my brethren, count it all joy. It doesn't feel like joy. It doesn't look like joyous things. But count it, which is a mathematical term to put it to the account. Reckon it to be joy. Write it up as joy. Appraise it as joy. Can you say, Matt? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, different kinds of trials, tests, persecutions, and temptations. When that happens to you, say, something good is coming out of this. That's the only way you can count it joy, is to know that something good is going to come out of this. Amen. And you've got to know that to have peace when it comes. Otherwise, it's going to shake your peace, because your peace has never come through a surrendered will and through a knowledge of God's agenda in your heart and your life. How many know God would love you, want you to be more like His Son than He does to be the greatest minister that's ever walked behind a pulpit? His chief agenda in Billy Graham's life is not to give him a great evangelistic ministry, but to bring him closer to the image of His Son. His chief agenda in Billy Sunday's life, or George Whitfield's life, or D.L. Moody's life, was not to make them great ministers, but make them great servants. Can you say amen? And the great ministers are not just people with wonderful anointings. Saul was an anointed king, but he ended up not being a good king nor a great king. He said, I have played the fool, and he died in defeat because of an unsurrendered will. He died in defeat because of a rebel heart that lifted him up in pride. Can you say amen? And why did God pick David? Because David just melted before the presence of God. David had no agenda. He didn't set out to be king. He wasn't trying to be anything grand. He just wanted to be pleasing to God. If keeping the sheep would please God, he was just as content to keep sheep as the younger brother as he was to sit on the throne. The only reason he wanted to sit on the throne is because God said, that's where I want you. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to find people with that attitude? That's why he didn't come down to kill a giant and make a name for himself. He came down to serve his brothers. Amen. But he defended the name of the God of Israel while he was down there. It was in God's name, not in David's name, that he slew the giant. And anything you want to do in your name to further your agenda, God will not honor. But everything that you do in his name to further his agenda, God will bless. Can you say amen? I want you to know the reason I have confidence in this little ministry is that we're here in His name for His honor and His glory to do His will. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. If it's His will we pay this out, we'll pay it out. And if His will to send us a cash payoff, then He'll do it. Hallelujah. Because He's in control and we are surrendered. Praise God. Isn't that incredible? Now I'm going to get close to home. Listen, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this. It's got to get settled in your heart. Amen? It's got to get settled in your heart. Everybody says it's got to get settled in my heart. Knowing this. For we do know. Peace isn't going to come until you have it settled in your heart that all this is working together for good, if it's going to cooperate with God's agenda. If you're surrendered in your will and you trust Him through it, it's going to work together for good. There's been a bunch of people laid off and left where I work. Most incredible message is coming back from them. It's something when it first happened they couldn't conceive, because they had 27 years invested. And all of the, you know, they get some of the 401k, but all those retirement plans and all the just going just like it's going, stopped. But as the message come back, those that trusted the Lord and prayed when it happened, there's a consistent message coming back. God made a way. I'm freer. I'm happy. In fact, there's one man that got laid off after 17 years that thought everything had come to an end in his life. God has opened up new vistas for him, opened up new opportunities, took care of him financially. And you know what he said? He said, free at last. Free at last. And he's a white man. He said, great God Almighty, I'm free at last. Amen. Well, you know, there's liberty in trusting God in the time of trial. Can you say amen? What you think might be something that is hurting you can be something that's taking you to the next level in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, I am so glad there is a sovereign God that is that I do not control, but there's a God who is in control. And when I yield to Him, my life is now part of His sovereign purpose. Hallelujah. His eternal purpose. And I'm going to tell you something about your preacher. It doesn't matter what the devil says, and it doesn't matter what it may look like at a given time, I want you to know that everything is working together for good. I know it, hallelujah. It's settled down in my heart. Satan can't head me off even if he cuts off my head. You didn't hear me. Because you can't do it unless God permits it. And if God permits it and lets me know it's His will, I could say with Paul, facing that headsman's axe, saying, the time of my departure is at hand. Not my demise. This is going to set me free from this body and this world and these persecutions. It's going to happen so quick I won't even feel it. What a way to go. It's macabre to us, but when your head lobs off your body, you don't feel pain. You say, what if my head lays there for just a split second? And my mind... You know what I love about Stephen when he went home, the first Christian martyr? There was something more going on than what was happening in his head. Something was happening in his heart. And my Bible said as they began to stone him, he looked up. And he saw something he said, I see heaven opened. Amen. I see heaven now as more real than the earth. Can you say, amen? What was it, C.H. Spurgeon, when he was down there, D.L. Moody, he said, earth recedes, heaven opens. Can you say, amen? The very same experience at death. Earth recedes and heaven opens. And he said, I don't just see a golden city. He said, I see Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Standing at the right hand of God. Amen. Jesus is always presented with his work finished on earth as seated at the right hand until a Christian comes home. And then that changes. Jesus stands, hallelujah, to receive them and to honor them. Glory to God. I don't see Jesus seated. I see Jesus standing, hallelujah. Amen and amen. From that point on, hallelujah, you can do what you will to this body. And you know what the Bible said happened? And he fell asleep. Now, when you fall asleep like that, we call it death. God says, I've removed your spirit from your body. The body may twitch. It may act like it's got feelings, but it don't. Because you're not there anymore. The stones can keep falling, and they can make a real mess out of what used to be your face. Can you say, man, they can remove your limbs, cut your head clean off, but you're not there anymore. That's just the clay house you lived in that they're beating on and framing on. Hallelujah. Mutilating. You're not there anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, you have left this world and you went to that world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Where there's nothing will ever touch you, harm you anymore. I don't know about you, but we need some knowledge today about God's agenda. We need to understand spiritual things. Amen. They that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And we got a church that's wrapped up, a church world out there that's mainly wrapped up in the things of the flesh that are caught up in it. Their will is not surrendered to the will of God because the will of God might interrupt their agenda. Can you say amen? Let me clue you in, old hoss. The will of God will always interrupt your agenda. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God has an agenda. And He bought you. He paid for you. And He wants you to give yourself to Him in full surrender. Hallelujah. You are bought with a price. Therefore, go do your own thing. You're free to do your own thing. No, you are bought with a price. Therefore, Paul said, you are not your own. I like belonging to God. I like Him being my provider. Him being my protector. I like Him being responsible for me. Amen? That don't set me back. That don't harm me. That don't hurt me. That encourages my life. Hallelujah. I'm glad to know that God is in control. Hallelujah. There's peace and there's joy in it. After Jesus fully surrendered, said for the joy that was set before Him. Joy set before Him in this terrible ordeal? Yeah, the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross while despising the shame. But the endurance in his life came from the joy that was set before him. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. If you've got a heart for God, there's joy in serving Him. It's not a job. Amen? It's a joy. Don't you hate to go to a church where everything's presented as a duty, therefore it becomes a job? It's your duty to read 3 chapters every day, and if you don't, you're derelict in your duty. So what do? You dutifully, not joyfully, But you dutifully read the Word. And what do you get out of the Word when you just do it out of a sense of duty instead of love for Christ? Nothing. You take that old heart. Oh, man. Did you know in your flesh there's a rebel? Everybody in here is why the Bible says you got to deny yourself. Because in everybody's flesh there's a rebel. Intrinsic. It lives there. The law. There's a law in my members, Paul said. Everybody say there's a Dr. Jekyll and there's a Mr. Hyde. Your husband or wife probably knows both of these people very well. Can you say amen? Your employer will probably discover it. I know out on U.S. 19 they're going to find out. If you drive in that traffic. Amen? It's in everybody. It's in children. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction driveth it far from it. And we wonder why God chastens them that he loves. Why? Because foolishness is bound in their heart. The heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all. Everything says there's nothing as deceitful as the human heart. Because it's been tainted by sin. And Satan's nature has touched it. There's movies out called the trilogy, The Lord of the Rings. It's about this world where there's a light and darkness conflict. I've never read the books, but they say that, you know, there's all of this advertisement. But there is a darkness that's not unlike some of these tall tales, but there is a real, genuine curse and darkness, amen, and evil that came upon this planet and tainted everything and everyone on it when man surrendered his will to Satan and rebelled in his will against God. God gave man a sovereign free will and he used it to disobey instead of to obey. And the moment he did, it opened a world of darkness that came into this planet and a curse came into the earth and the earth brought forth the briar. Amen? If you give me just a little volume, I'll take it away from my mouth a little further and I'll save some voice for tonight. Hallelujah. Because I want to tell you about Maranatha. But with unsurrendered wills, no faith seminar.
That's right.
No fruit of the Spirit plan. Nothing you want to achieve in God is achievable unless you begin at the beginning. And the beginning of it all is a fully surrendered will. Amen? That means God can make you rich if he chooses. And that means that God can keep you in the servant class if he chooses. Doesn't it, if it's surrendered? Did he make everyone rich? No. He said, greet the saints that are in Caesar's house, those constricted to serve. He said, they're saints. They're mine. They're my people. They're in my will. They're my witnesses. But they're not the CEOs of the company. They're in sanitation. But they're as much mine as the president. And there's much in my will if that's where I sent them to minister. Oh, you're not saying, come on, I'm talking about a surrendered will. I'm not talking about, amen, trying to have our values, amen, express the same values of this world. I'm talking about pleasing him. I'm talking about a kingdom that doesn't come with observation. I'm talking about never supposing that gain in and of itself relates in any way to godliness. I'm talking about finding contentment, which is part of peace. You get content. Be content with such. Everybody say, I got food.
I got food.
Now, I don't know if you got prime rib at home or you got fatty hamburger. I don't know which one's in the fridge. But I know that, yeah, we got neither one because we don't want cholesterol. Turkey's good. Fish is good. A hamburger, as the exception, once a week, oh, it's better than when you eat it all week long. Today is. Today is not fish and chicken day. Today is eat the fat and drink the sweet. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So we want it all the way with cheese. We do not take the bacon, however. It's for conscience sake. You know, it's like getting a Big Mac. You know, they got a double quarter pounder, which, if my math is correct, is a half pounder. That's a lot of hamburger. Not mentioning the bread and the sauce. They got a double quarter pounder with cheese. I mean, boy, you talk about if you don't like somebody, take them to McDonald's and buy them that. as often as possible. Hey, it won't be long. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That'll clog you. It's got to clog you up. If you can be clogged, that'll clog you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And you know what some people are going to do? I guarantee anybody at McDonald's will tell you. They're going to come through the drive-thru. They're going to come and make their order. They're going to say, I want a double quarter pounder with cheese. I want a large fry. And I want an apple pie. One of them fried, deep-fried apple pies, fried in the same grease you fry the French fries in, if you want it crispy on the outside. Can you say amen? And a Diet Coke. Because who are you pointing at? As long as I got the Diet Coke, it's okay. I'm still watching it. Honey, once you go that far, just get you the triple thick shape with the whipped cream and cherry on top. And your flesh and mine is flaky. And I want you to get down on yourself. I want you to understand how to deal with yourself. Because you've got to deny yourself before you can follow Him. And you've got to follow Him before you can find His peace. Because He got His peace from following God fully. And God gave Him the Holy Spirit. How? How did He give it to Him? Without measure. That means there was nothing in Him that would inhibit the full expression of God's Spirit in through His life. Can you say amen? How many know there's still things in us that inhibit the full expression? If you think that your brush with God and your fact that the Holy Spirit can now live in you equates to Him being able to flow through you without measure, you are very wrong in your thinking. Can you say amen? If the Spirit of God can flow through you and me without measure, that means we have come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. And guess what, church? We don't measure up. That's the bad news. The good news is that we can begin to make progress. And the moment we begin to surrender our will, we begin to grow up into Him who is the head. It's progressive, but there's a peace that propels this whole process. The peace of knowing I am not what I ought to be yet totally, but I'm definitely not what I used to be. Isn't that good? I'm not yet fully what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. That's how, and you're still making progress. And a year goes by and you say, you know something, I'm not there yet. But thank God, looking back, I am not what, boy, I used to get mad, blow my top. But you realize yesterday the same thing happened through the same person, and I held my peace. Thank God I'm getting more like Him and less like what I used to be. That's spiritual progress. Can you say amen? How many of those are a rebel in your flesh? Paul said, there's a law in my members. The flesh and the spirit are in conflict. It's in children. Heard of a lady who was so proud of her granddaughter. But her granddaughter was spoiled, absolutely rotten. None of us know anything about spoiled, rotten children. Ours are all so wonderful and we've been so, but she was spoiled, rotten. Her grandmother had promised her all these blessings and buy her this and that and the other because she sang the Good Ship Lollipop just like Shirley Temple. And boy, she had dimples like Shirley Temple. And she looked sweet like on the good ship. Anybody remember Shirley Temple? Lollipop. I don't know the rest of the song. That wasn't my thing back then. But anyway, moving right along. I like Little Rascals, but moving along. Three Stooges, so yeah. Very dedicated servants of God. I'm not given to much levity, just occasionally, just to deal with pressure. Anyway, moving right along. Amen. That's my nerve pill, is Three Stooges and Laurel and Hardy. And she said, I want you to sing that I'm having people over for tea today. And I told them about my wonderful granddaughter. And this little girl is mean as a snake, you know. She's been spoiled rotten, you know. And it's typical of our flesh that'll play good to get something. But sometimes it comes out anyway. It just comes out. If it's in there, it's going to come out. If we don't deny it, if we don't surrender our will is going to go contrary to God. It's just going to do that. It's going to happen. So she said, I'm having about 8 of my friends over for tea and cookies, and when they all get here, I want you to sing that song. You're so cute. And she didn't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to. But my grandma kept adding to the promises. I'll give you that. You know, one preacher was talking about his son, and Pamela told me this story. He's talking about his son, and he says, you know, our children have wax in their ears. That's why they don't listen to us. It's a simple reason. They got wax in their ears. They can't hear what we're saying. We tell them, don't do that, and they go right ahead and do it because they got wax in their ears. But he said, you know what I found? If you add heat to their bottoms, it melts the wax out of their ears. Did you know God made that discovery long before that man did? He chastens every son that he scourges everyone that he. If we be without chastisement, we don't belong to him. We're bastards and not sons. Can you say amen? Why? Because he wants us to hear him. Why? See, if we listen to him, if we hearken to him, can you say amen? Then the word is not going to be something that we just receive and then reject when we walk out the door. It's something we receive and we retain in our life. And when it's retained in the heart, it brings a life of obedience, which is a life of fruitfulness, 30, 60, and 100 fold, a life of fulfillment, a life of power, a life of blessing. Holiness is not to put you in a box. It's to set you apart for blessing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So the time coming, she's bribed the little girl, but the little girl's meanness took over at the last minute. She forgot all the promises of dolls and playhouses. And when Grandma said, and my little granddaughter's going to entertain us today with a song, and she just buttoned up. And so as the story goes, the grandmother pinched her in a convenient place. And said, sing. And the little girl said, no. And grandmother pinched her again and said, sing. And the little girl wouldn't do it. So she took her by the arm, took her upstairs. Amen. She had this big walk-in closet. She says, you just get in there, young lady, and think about what you promised and how you broke your promise to me and slammed the door. And you know, about 5 minutes went by and she didn't hear a peep. She thought the girl would be beating on the door and screaming and hollering and kicking, which was her normal self. So she thought the girl might be repentant and she felt bad about shutting her in the closet. And she went upstairs and there was no lock on the door. It wasn't child abuse. You know, she just, you know, out of sight, get her out of my sight. She went up, she opened the door and the little girl was standing there smiling, a real defiant smile. And she said, well, honey, what have you been doing? She said, I've been spitting on your walls. And I've been spitting on your clothes. And I've been spitting on the floor. And right now, I'm working up some more spit. That's a rebel heart. You don't like it. Nobody else likes it. So don't get God, don't try to get God to accept it. Don't try to get him to say, you know, this person's going to do this thing and that thing, but here's something they're just not going to do. They're not going to surrender over here. They're just not going to do it. They're going to hold out right here. They'll listen to me on that thing because they find that easy enough to do. This doesn't require that much sacrifice or commitment. But over here, they're not going to listen. They're going to know what I say, and they're not going to do it. But they're going to come to church and expect blessings. They're going to look for peace that they're not going to discover. They're going to look for joy for their journey. They might get a zap of the Holy Spirit occasionally. They will not live in joy. I know a lot of depressed people that shout on Sunday. And their shout is not a real spiritual breakthrough. It's like a pressure cooker that's got a valve on it when it builds up so big. I used to think that everybody that shouted was having a breakthrough. And I found out that people are living in pressure cookers many times. They don't have and have not achieved the peace of God. So church is a place to blow off pressure. When the Holy Spirit comes, they get a taste of liberty from the prison that they live in. And for a moment or two, amen, they shout, they dance, they sing. It looks like heaven has come down and touched the earth. But you catch them on a Tuesday afternoon, they're back in the same purple funk. Can you say, man, the same valley of depression? Because there was no breakthrough, and there will be no breakthrough because you laugh for a while. I'm not against holy laughter. I'm saying without a breakthrough, it is meaningless. Can you say, man, if the prison, if the yoke isn't broken with the anointing, if you're not truly set free by God, then we're living a lie while we're laughing on Sunday. The Holy Spirit don't want to make you laugh while you live in prison. He wants to set you free from prison, whether you laugh or whether you don't laugh. Can you say, man? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about holy laughter. Amen. When we return back to God and we surrender our wills back to Him, it won't just be a spiritual phenomenon that God makes happen in us through the supernatural. It will be the normal. It won't even involve the supernatural at all. Well, come on. The proof text for holy laughter that many people are using, amen, you have to be completely set free before you can use it as a proof text. You have to return to God before you can use it as a proof text. Amen. It's found in Psalm 126, and it said, when God again, what? Gave the mighty manifestation of holy laughter. No, when God turned the captivity of Zion. That means when people that were in bondage were set free to serve God again. Hallelujah. Then, and when does God turn the captivity of Zion? He said, when you return to me, I'll return to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And when God turned the captivity of Zion, then because of the mighty delivering power of God, was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongues with song. Hallelujah. This is not something that happens when the Holy Ghost makes you do it. It's something that happens when He sets you free and you can't help doing it. And if that ain't happening, it's baloney. Because you're representing a freedom that doesn't truly exist. Hello? Laughter's for people who are set free. Not who people are bound and having an experience of laughter while in their bondage, but staying in their bondage. Jesus' whole anointing is liberating. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He's anointed me to what? Give people an experience to leave them in bondage. No, set the captive free. To set at liberty those that are bruised. To preach deliverance to the captives. Hallelujah. So, there are revivals that are not really revivals unless the captive is free. If the captive isn't free, then your spiritual experience doesn't amount to much, does it? If you're still in your prison, you're not free. Amen? If you go home in your prison, the choicest Pentecostal blessing this morning won't help you until God is able to set you free. Hallelujah. Amen? I found this out early in my ministry. I preached at a little church, pastored it for about 9 months, and until the baby was born. The baby didn't want me, just daddy. So anyway, moving right along. I preached there for about 9 months. That's all they could stand. And this one lady came. We had a sermon on being set free, and I laid hands on her. She hit the floor. She got up, and she danced, and she shouted, and she did things that an older woman shouldn't do, except under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And my, what a time we had. And I thought, victory, victory shall be mine. We sung victory songs at the end of that service. We thought we had a breakthrough. And I met that person at the back door. And I was so overjoyed at the breakthrough that I thought had come. And that person asked me at the back door to pray for the same problem with the same demeanor of depression that she entered the door with. Amen. Nothing had changed in her heart. Nothing had changed in her life. Like a pressure cooker having a moment for that pressure to be released for a little release. Don't think that what you're seeing when pressure is being released for a time is a breakthrough until that life changes. Something's got to be different on Wednesday afternoon if what happened on Sunday has any real relevance to that life. Can you say amen? One man, and this is not, listen, this is not an indictment against spiritual experiences. I'm just saying they got to be real. They begin with full surrender. They don't begin with just sitting in the pew with their hearts not made right with God, getting blessings from above. Can you say amen? They start with altars. They start with places of commitment. They start with a renewed commitment to a life of obedience. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Obedience isn't easy, but when you set your will to obey, heaven's resources become yours. Jesus said, not my will, thine be done, and something happened. Jesus did not stand there in His own strength any longer to carry out the will of God. Oh, you're not listening to me. My Bible said it immediately. Angels came and ministered to him. I don't know what they did, but I know one thing. If an angel comes and ministers to you, they're going to give you what you need to obey God. Can you say amen? That means you're going to have help from heaven. The Holy Spirit's going to come. Angels are going to come. Whatever there is in heaven to back you up is going to be made available to you. And what you cannot ever do in your flesh and in yourself, amen, by an act of your will through faith, God will give you the resources to do. So don't back off from the will of God because you've tried and failed. Surrender your will and say, Lord, give me the strength to obey you. That's a prayer in the will of God. That's a prayer that God anxiously awaits to answer. Hallelujah. You want to forgive your enemy? God will give you the wherewithal. You want to get control of that temper and quit using your red hair? We don't know what color it is for real, but if it really is red, can you say amen? I used to preach on clear all Christians. Only their creator knows for sure. Hello? But even if it's really red and you're really Irish, and you say, I'm mean because I'm Irish, it's my temperament, something has changed. That old dog won't hunt anymore. That old excuse won't hold water anymore. Because you're a new creation. You got a new bloodline. You got a new life and a new heart. And if you keep giving in to temper, it's not because you can't. You just have that temperament and you can't help it. It's because you're not surrendered in your will. Can you say amen? How many's ever been to an evangelistic crusade where people are just asked to come forward and partake of an anointing without dealing with heart issues? Not much lasting stuff. You know, when a few sick folk were healed, Jesus said, no mighty work has been done yet. Do you realize what we thought was so great, he minimized? Did you know he minimized that? Did you know getting healed without your heart changed can still allow you to go to hell? You understand that today? Did you know that you can live a whole life of defeat? And there are people like Joni Erickson in a wheelchair with a surrendered will that is happier than some people here with two legs. She can't move from the neck down. She's got a ministry. A lot of faith people call her a loser. She's got perfect peace in her heart. She's got a child and she's got a family and she's got a ministry and she's happy in life. Tell people how to be happy in Jesus. I'm not saying it's his will that she be in that wheelchair. I'm saying she's got peace in her heart. And I'm saying in that wheelchair with peace in her heart, you got two good eyes, two good arms, two good legs. But if you don't have peace in your heart, she's far ahead of you. Can you say amen? She's got a ministry within her handicap. A joy that you can't see no obvious reason for. A family, a husband, a home, and a ministry. You got two legs at work. And you walk on them every day and say, my God in heaven, I've got it so wrong. And you're walking on two good legs without peace in your heart. You got two good arms. Glory to God, you're not sitting here with an IV stuck in your arm. You're not sitting here with an apparatus to help you breathe like I've seen people with emphysema in a grocery store pushing a buggy with an oxygen tank in it. Hallelujah, you're blessed people this morning. Your problem, amen, is an unsurrendered will. Get it surrendered to God and rejoice in your life. Hallelujah. Without surrender, it's baloney. That's why people go away and don't serve God. That's why you get prophecies of God's purpose. But you go away with an unsurrendered will, he can't bring it to pass. Does that mean the person was a false prophet? Not necessarily. Did you know Israel, somebody prophesied accurate to Israel, said God wants you in Canaan. God is going to take you from Egypt directly to Canaan and give that land to you. Thus saith the Lord, that had been perfectly true. But they turn back. Everybody say an act of the will. They turn back and limited the Holy One of Israel. Unsurrendered will means you won't give properly. You realize if you've got an unsurrendered will, you're not going to give properly. you're going to find every excuse in the world. Because your will is not surrendered. In that area of your walk, your will is not surrendered. Are you getting on to us? No, because I don't keep the books and I don't want to. That's why I can preach this way. But I know in every congregation there's people with unsurrendered wills. God says that's His. I'm keeping it for me, and I'll justify it because of this or that. Keep it up. That's your choice. Amen? But it's an area of your life that God will call you to an account for because it's disobedience. People don't want to face disobedience the same way they would face witchcraft because we would deal effectively with witchcraft because there's no question, no justify, no way to say it's okay. But when someone's hurt me and I'm mad at them, it's okay. Even though that anger is in disobedience to my master. It's not okay. It's never going to be okay. It's only okay because you're still your own. You're bought with a price, but you haven't given yourself to the one who paid so much to buy you back. You're still yours instead of His. And He wants you for His. So He can put you in a box? No. So He can get you out of the prison of self and begin to bless you. It's a surrender that brings serenity. Say a surrender that brings serenity. That's where peace comes from. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my yoke. 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 And learn of me, for I am what? Here is the attitude and character that brings full surrender. I am meek. Do you know that's a fruit of the Spirit? It is such a low-rated fruit. We're into faith and joy and love. We're not into meekness and goodness and temperance. Come on. I'm serious. What are the tape series about? You don't hear too many meekness crusades. And yet, that's the character of Jesus that brought the obedience forth in His life. It's the fruit of meekness. I was preaching in the prison system with all these Marlboro men. The Marlboro man, by the way, went on record saying don't ever start smoking because he was dying of lung cancer. The guy that was the poster man for Marlboro, amen, came out and said don't do it. Thank God for the people that are changing their mind and their attitudes and trying to help other people to change. Thank God for the lady, Roe versus Wade. Thank God for the lady who was used, amen, to legally get an abortion, coming out and saying, I want my name taken off the legal records. I do not want to promote in any way, amen, my name associated with abortion. She came out. She said, thank God people are changing and can be changed. Can you say amen? Glory to God. And they're going public for Christ and righteousness in this day. It's a good sign that the Holy Spirit is still at work in hearts and lives in the United States of America. Amen. But changes are coming. Hallelujah. We got to hurry and close. There's so much in this. Take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit. So I go into the prison system. I've never been in it. I don't know how to preach in it. I'm as green as a leaf on a tree. I'm not even, experienced and seasoned in pastoring, which means I haven't suffered yet enough, amen, to really yield to God and surrender. But I'm in the prison system, and this guy's going to teach me how to do it, and I'm only there to observe. He said, Pastor, you come today, and you observe. You're going to come to observe. So I didn't prepare anything in the Bible, and I didn't really pray a whole lot. I just prayed, you know, your minimum prayers of going in somewhere where you might get killed, amen, and for protection and all of that. I mean, they blood type me. The guards are going to leave us alone, and they take my blood type. So I said, Lord, don't let them kill me. They also told me there was a no hostage. They do not negotiate for hostages because if they ever set a precedent, then it's going to jeopardize everyone that comes into the prison, including the guards. So if they take you hostage and threaten your life, then we're not going to negotiate with them. So we want you to know that. If you still want to go in, go on in. So I went on in, and I sit down to observe. And so the man was teaching about 32 men the Beatitudes. And one of them said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So he's this seasoned prison minister. He's bold, and he's confident, and he's experienced. He opens the Bible, and he reads, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And a big burly guy with tattoos all over him stood up in the back and said, "If I was meek in here, I'd be dead by morning." And this guy just froze. And I'm waiting on his response. Like, you know, I'm here to observe. I'm trying to look like I know the answer, and I don't, but I'm looking at him, and I'm saying, yeah, tell him. I want to know this. And you know what he did? He said, "I brought Pastor Venable along today. Brother Venable, you take it from here." And he sat down, and I stood up. And under my breath, I was saying, Holy Spirit, Jesus, help me, George, help me. And he did. Because he showed us the power of meekness. And it just came to me. I'd recently read or watched the movie The Charge of the Light Brigade. And it's a true story about these men of valor that charged into cannon fire and gunfire, the something Bengal Lancers, and they charged in incredible odds, and they just charged into the face of all of that terrible holocaust of fire coming at them. And their horses had been trained. And I'd read about the training of those horses, those Arabian horses in particular, that were going to be used in battles where cannons would be fired at them. Amen. For the horse, the soldiers, the cavalry that rode on the back of those horses, they were taken out and they were starved for water in the Arabian desert until they were almost at the point of total dehydration and death, to where they were consumed with a desire for water. And then they were put within the sight and smell of a pool of glistening water. And they were told by their master, not held by the reins, but simply commanded by their rider, "No, stay." And the ones that were consumed by their own thirst and ran for the water were disqualified to ride into battle. But the ones that stood at their master's command and say, "My consuming desire for water is not stronger than my submission to my master's will," they were chosen to ride into battle. Because even though fear would grip them when the cannon fire started and explosions happened to the right and left, they wouldn't break stride. Are you listening to me? And I told them that story, and I said, "Men, I'm going to tell you something. Meekness is not weakness. It is power under control." That horse could throw that rider. That horse is stronger than that rider. That horse could turn the other way, and there's nothing he could do. But that horse is what they call broken, which means he surrendered to the will of another. And until our will is broken in the presence of Jesus, we're going to do our thing. The tension's going to stay. The peace or the power isn't going to come. And it's, you know where we're going to find out? In the day of battle. The battle of the wills. The battle between the flesh and spirit. It's going to come. Amen? And we've got to choose Christ. No one's going to get it perfect. But if you surrender your will, God has a candidate that he can use. And the first thing he's going to give you is peace. In this world, you're going to have pressure and anguish. But I'm going to give you my peace. Not like the world gives. This is an inner peace, a peace of knowing that God is in control and you're in his will, no matter what happens. So all things work together for good for everyone, even people that don't love God enough to surrender their will? No. All things work together for good to them that love him. And saying I love him without listening to him, it won't work. If a man love me, he'll do what? His will's got to be surrendered. It's the proof of love. Is it saying it? The Bible said don't love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's not true until we do something. If a man love me, he will keep my commandments. And listen, and they won't put him in a box. They won't break his heart, restrict him, and repress him. Amen. There's joy in this. There's joy in being free to serve God. Hallelujah. He set them free from Egypt. What? So they could go out and just do their own thing and have God protect them and watch over and provide for them while they do their own thing. He said, let my people go. Not that they just do their own thing, but they can worship me in the wilderness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let them go so they can serve me. Don't let them go to be free agents, but let them go to be full servants. Glory. Well, we're right on biblically. You can't squirm out of this one. All things only work together for good if you love the Lord. Amen. And are the called according to His purpose. Everybody's saying cooperating with His agenda. Because verse 29 reveals the purpose. Here's the grandest purpose of God in your life. For whom He did foreknow. He saved you for this purpose. He sanctified you for this purpose. He called you to this purpose. He sent the fivefold ministry to perfect you for this purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit. And you will find what you're looking for. Rest for your soul. The agitation's gone. The aggravation's gone. There's a deep, settled peace within that is prevalent and prevailing in your life. Can you say amen? David said, surrender your will. You'll begin to love His law. Hallelujah. Great peace have they which love thy law. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Great peace have they which love thy law. When David got turned wrong with God's word, he said his bones waxed old with roaring. But when he got right, he said, I found my peace again. Because I'm back in my place of obedience again. Hallelujah. Isn't this good stuff? Oh, by the way, you want the blessings. This enhances your fellowship relationship. Not only do you get peace and power with God, Holy Spirit without measure, something else you get is so wonderful and so powerful. God is able to communicate with you up close and personal in an intimate way when you're surrendered. If you're not surrendered, you're not going to listen. So all that He's saying is not being heeded. So why should He keep talking to you? Because all you want to hear is what you want to hear. Surrender says, I don't want to hear what I want to hear. I want to hear what He has to say. One of the things that marked the end time church is people would have itching ears. They would follow ministries that tell them what they want to hear instead of what God has to say. I don't want to go to a physician with a lump in my body and him send it off and get it analyzed and come back and find that it's positive for cancer and it needs to be cut out before it spreads to the rest of the body. If I need radical surgery, I want Him to tell me that. I really don't want to hear that. I'd rather hear it's benign. But I don't want Him to lie to me. It may hurt me to hear what He's got to say, but I want Him to say it. I want Him to say it loud and clear. I don't want Him to beat around the bush. I want Him to be forthright and straightforward and say, listen, there's something in here trying to hurt you. We need to get it out of you. Is that okay with you? I'm going to say, man, get it on and get it out. Is that all right with you? I mean, when I go to church, I don't want the man to sugarcoat the word. So something that can harm me, can stay in me and hurt me, I want Him to tell it like it is. Amen. I want this purging. I want this cleansing. I want this thing cut away by the Word of God. Amen. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it. He cuts deep. He cuts off the dead stuff. Why? Because He wants the good stuff to flourish. He's not angry at you. If you go out and start pruning your trees, it's not because you're not a good agriculturalist or a good horticulturalist. It's because that you want to see fruit on those trees and you don't want those things that are sapping that strength out. You don't want the fruit to be little shriveled up stuff. You want it to come forth and flourish. Hallelujah. God wants His church to begin to flourish like the date palm. Hallelujah. So He purges it. Prunes it, cuts away the dead stuff, that it might what? be more fruitful by becoming what? More like Jesus. Fruit of the Spirit's the character of Jesus. So at the end of that service, we had a big altar call. And I don't know which of them was jailhouse religion and which of them really got it. We had a deal going in, me and God. We'll catch them, you clean them. Can you say amen? But I stayed there for 6 weeks. At the end of the 6 weeks, a man that had come in that service, his trial had now been held. It was over. He was going to serve a life sentence in Rayford State Penitentiary. He had steel gray eyes. He looked like he was dead emotionally. I mean, I heard a lady talking with James Robinson the other day. She said, you know, there's always those people in church that are dead, but they won't lay down. They just won't lay down. But they're dead. And he looked like, I couldn't tell by looking at him. But the last, I told him this is my last time coming. And he came and told me his real quick story. He asked me to sign a Bible I'd given him. And I put the autograph in it. Reverend Robert A. Venable. Meant something to him. I'm glad he wanted it. You know what? He said, I'm going. Preacher, I want you to know something. I'm going to Rayford to serve a life sentence without parole.